Redeeming the time. What's the word redeem mean? To buy back, to make use of, to not let it go by without thought or without purpose. Redeeming the time. 3 weeks ago, we said this: live like we're dying, because we are physically dying. But also live like we're going to live forever, because we will, either in heaven or hell, right? So every day we should live like we're physically dying, because we're going to, and when we die, we'll either go to heaven or hell. So we should understand that and live like that and redeem the time. Understand, while you're living, you have just a certain amount of time. The verse that we use, Jesus said, your mistake is you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power of God. If you're living in a way that's not according to the will of God, it'll be because of one of those two reasons. Either you don't know the scriptures, you don't know what you're doing, or you don't know the power of God, that the power of God can give you the strength and bring you into a new relationship with Him. And regardless of what's going on in your life, you can live like you're dying, but like you're going to live somewhere forever. The second, 2 weeks ago, we said, live like the people you know and meet are dying, because they are, but also like those we know and meet are going to live forever, because they will, either in heaven or hell. So everybody you run across, everybody you know, everybody you love, they're dying, but they're also going to live forever somewhere. So you should redeem the time that you have when you're with those people, because that is true. Okay? The verse, when he saw the crowds, Jesus had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. And pray that your combine don't burn down while you're out there in the field, especially if you're in it, right? And with your grandkids. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll do what? Send workers into the field. Why?
Because we need to harvest them.
Because they're dying, and they're going to go to either heaven or hell, and we are who God has chosen to go to the world. Man, nobody else is going to go. Only the body of Christ is going to go. Okay? Last week, Jordan said there's two types of calling. There's a general calling that all Christians are commanded to perform, like love God, love others, go into all the world, do everything for the glory of God. Why do we do that? Because we're dying. And because we're going to live somewhere forever. And if we're going to redeem the time, and if we're going to be a witness to anybody else, we're going to have to be doing that, right? He also said there's a specific calling, a calling that is unique to you, much like John the Baptist ministry, or Joseph, or Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or Peter. God has a general calling for your will that you're supposed to be doing. Most likely, their specific calling will come out of that. And as you understand your specific calling, you still do the general calling. Did I say that pretty much the way he said it? Okay. Jordan said, the key then is to always pursue God's general calling on your life and seek to be faithful to his present specific calling. We may not know what we'll be doing in 10 years, but we have a specific calling today. Right? So that's what we looked at the last 3 weeks. Okay? Now, need you guys. God sustains, Roy, are you here? God sustains all of his creation, right? We're fixing to see God's representatives here. Okay. Let's have all the time. Creation, right there. The end of the world down there, right? Eternity before Neil. Eternity after Bryant.
Brant.
What did I say? Who did I say?
Brian.
Brian, get up here and hold her up. No. Okay, so eternity that away, eternity that away. What happened to eternity starting right here? It's still going. Bob, did I do that right? It loops all the way across. Just because time began, and in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, what began? Time. One day time will end. When wherever you're, or whoever, that says Holy Spirit, it got all crooked. Okay, so about 4,000 years from down there to right here. 2,000 years since then to right about here, to where we believe the Bible teaches the rapture and the second coming is going to happen. 1,000-year millennial kingdom and then the end of the world. Right? God created Adam and Eve, and when he got through creating on the sixth day, he said, "It is very good." But then he saw Adam and he said, "He's alone, that's not good." And he made Eve. He said, "I'll make someone suitable for him or helper for him." So he created Eve. And then he put them in a garden and said, and they were totally innocent. They did not know good and evil. He said, "You can do anything in the world you want to do, except you can't eat of one tree." And that tree was called the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan rebelled, tried to take over God's creation. God kicked him out of heaven. He's still in the spirit world. He came down to earth and knocked that microphone stand over. He came down to earth and started messing with Adam and Eve, right? And he told them, "God is not telling you the truth," basically. "God knows in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened and you'll know what? Good and evil." Is that true? Were their eyes open once they ate it? Did they know good and evil? Yes, but did they want to know good and evil? No. So God said, "In the day that you do that, what'll be the penalty? You'll die." So we're going to live like we're dying, because the penalty of sin is death. And death doesn't just mean physical death. It means spiritual death. But it also means every bad thing that goes along with leading up to death. All of the heartache, all the turmoil, all the sin, all the bad, all the world, all the evil that's ever been in the world happened because Adam and Eve chose that. And we're now in Adam and Eve. We're descendant of Adam, right? Y'all all with me so far? Okay. I believe we're living right there, right here. And this is you. Each one of you, this is you. Can y'all see you? How many of you can see you there? You can you? I don't think you can. I don't think it wrote.
It was a mist or a vapor that appeared and vanished.
Okay. Y'all can just lay that down. Thank you, guys.
Good job. Good job, Brian.
Good job, Brian. Look, our life, that little dot is our life, right? Look, I think Jordan peeked at my sermon up there. Look, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go in a certain town and we'll stay there a year and we'll do business there and make a profit, How do you know what your life will be tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. On that timeline, whenever Moses lived back here, his life was like a little dot. It's gone. Why do we even know about Moses? Why do we even know his name? Because the Bible records what he done, and he was a great man. The Apostle Paul lived right over here by the Holy Spirit. How do we even know about the Apostle Paul? The Bible. How many, name some historical figure that lived, not in the Bible. Who? Napoleon or George Washington. How do we know they lived? Somebody recorded it. How many billions of other people have lived and we have no clue who they were? Their life was like what? So compared to eternity, how long's our life going to be? Just a little dot. And two or three generations, some, if we're still here, I don't think we will be, but if we were, one of your great-great-grandkids would be looking up on their version of computer, figuring out their ancestral tree. And your name will pop up. And they'll go, wow, we had this person back there, lived in a place called Woodward, Oklahoma. What is that?
And then you'll be forgotten again.
You'll be written down and somebody will talk about you. How many of you has done that lately? How many of you has went back and looked up your ancestral trees, right? You ever hear those people two or three generations back until you started looking them up? But they lived. They probably thought their lives were really important, right? They probably thought that when they died, the world would cease to exist. Because why would the world go on if I wasn't here, right? But our life is really like what? A dot. In eternity, we're just a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. Right? Even in time, we're like that. And time is really finite. Look at the rest of this. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it. What had we ought to say? Lord willing, we'll go do this or that. Lord willing, we'll still be here tomorrow. It is only because the Lord is willing that we'll be here tomorrow. Because God preserves everything, right? He keeps it all together. And if He don't want us here tomorrow, we're not going to be here tomorrow. Right? Lord willing. I can say, how many of you have plans for this week? You already know what you're going to do this week. Some of the stuff you're going to do. Right? How many of us stopped and thought, Lord willing, I'm going to do that? Or we just assume we're going to do it. Right? We just take our life for granted a lot. Why should I bring up this kind of downer, depressive type subject that you're not going to live very long, you're going to die, and you're nobody going to remember you. Why even bring that up? Because we need to live like we're dying, because we are, and then we're just going to be forgotten after a while. Who will never forget us? And what about us will continue forever? Or so, and what amount, I'm trying to get y'all to say rewards, I don't know a way to say it, but only the things done for God will last for an eternity. Which, when Jordan said, do these general things, one of those things was, do everything to the glory of God. Right? That's what will last forever. Now, look at this. Psalms 90:12 says, teach us to realize the brevity of our life. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Another version says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. So, teach us to do what? number our days, or to realize the brevity of life. God wants us to realize we don't have forever to get done what we want to do. And as we realize that, what happens to us? We get wiser. How does that make you wiser? If Italy, if you know beyond a doubt when you die, you're either going to heaven or hell, and you know you're going to only live for a certain length of time, isn't it going to make you just a little bit to seek God to figure out what He wants you to do, not just live however you want to all the time? It would make you wise, right? It would make you wonder why you're sitting next to Him, right? No, not really. So it teaches us, it helps us become wise. It helps us to grow in wisdom. Now look at these verses. Ephesians 5:15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Pretty neat, isn't it? Don't live like a fool, but those who are wise. Well, who does the Bible say a fool is? Huh? Those who don't fear God. Those who don't believe in God, they're fools. Ephesians 5:16, make the most of opportunity in what? These evil days. When did the days become evil? When Adam and Eve sinned. Evil came into the world through that. If we're going to be wise and we're going to understand that evil exists, we're going to have to be seeking God. We're going to have to live like we're dying. But we're going to live somewhere forever. Ephesians 5:17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Is that what Jordan preached about last week? Yeah? Okay. We're going to do an interaction thing here to illustrate my point. Okay? So I'm going to have a men group one, you remember your number, a woman group one, you remember your number, and a group two. Y'all ready? Men group one. Okay? Scott, number one. Brian, number two. Jason, number three. Number four. Got it? Number five. Bob, number six. Chad, number seven. Number eight. Women. Okay? Italy, number one. Number two. Number three, four, and five. Six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay? Everybody I numbered, men and women, get up and go stand against that wall. Just get up and stand against the wall. That's all you have to do.
Hey, Alan, which Brian were you talking about?
That Brian. The good-looking one. The second group. One. Two. Gary, three. Four. Five, six, seven, eight. Chad, McKenna, nine and ten. 11, Roy, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Y'all go stand on that wall. So what did I just do? You don't answer. What just happened?
You emptied the seats.
I emptied the seats. A week ago at this time, a man walked into church in Texas and shot all those people.
Oh,
8 men, 17 women, pregnant, which made 26 people, and wounded 20. A week ago today, while we were having church, while Jordan was preaching, evil was happening.
Amen.
Okay? Look, if they would have come into our church and killed the same number of people, that's what would have happened to our church. You know, there were 60 people present that day. He killed or wounded all of them. 3/4 of the people who were in that church that day, he killed or wounded. Now, if we made 3/4 of everybody sitting here today, a whole bunch more of you would get up. Evil exists. You understand? Why should we live like we're dying? It's reality. When those people went to church last Sunday, what do you think the furthest thing from their mind was? Dying. Where do you think they probably thought they would be the safest in the world? Sitting in church. Evil exists. Is there any reason why I picked those? Oh, by the way, 7 of y'all sit down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Up to Roy, sit down. You know why I had them sit down? Huh? That's how many of them got to come home from the hospital. They're all still in the hospital. Okay, y'all can sit down. Y'all, is that not... Does that not get
yes.
you?
Just kill me.
I just killed. Listen, who needs prayed for down there? The survivors. These 26 people, assuming they were all saved, are where? They're in heaven. Right? They're in heaven. Who's left to deal with the aftermath? Who's going to be questioning why this happening? The ones who survived. Their relatives. How about their relatives who don't know God? What do you think they're saying today? What's Hollywood saying about the church shooting today? Huh? They're saying prayer doesn't work. Say it again. Where was your God then? Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, said we need to pray for those people. The guy that was a Hollywood actor that played Wesley Crusher on Star Trek Next Generation, y'all know who I'm talking about? He said, I think prayer got shot out of those people down there. What a thing to say, right? Does evil exist? When did evil begin? And where is evil today? Where is it? Think. Where is evil today? Huh? It's in us. What stops any of us from becoming like that? Yeah. Jesus, God, conscious, general revelation, specific revelation, the goodness of your family, the way the Holy Spirit reacts with you, the way you were raped, all of it is because God keeps us all together, right? The only reason that, by the way, the less people who are saved, the less people have the Holy Spirit in them, the less light and the less salt we become. You understand? As a whole. So the more demonic evil things, they get stronger. What was the guy's avowed belief down there? What was he? He's an atheist who, from the time he was in junior high, hated Christians and done everything he can. Generally speaking, why do we think he went to that church? To kill his in-laws. But if he just wanted to kill his in-laws, where would he have went? To their house. He did kill his grandmother-in-law. But why do you think he went to that church and not their house? Huh? Because they're Christians, and because he hated Christianity, because there is evil in the world. There is evil. We can put all kinds of names on it, but it comes down to one thing: evil. You can call it ISIS, you can call it Nazism, you can call it communism, you can call it whatever you want, but it comes down to men are evil because they chose evil. And Romans chapter 3 says there's none good, no, not one. We all do evil. There's nobody that seeks after God on their own, right? I want to show you some things. This is Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith in the Bible. This is people that God listed, started with Abel and come all the way down through of people who had lives of great faith. What happened in Texas is not new. It's a part of a battle between God and Satan that's been going on since Satan wanted to be God, right? Look, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They received what God had promised them. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They become strong in battle, and they put whole armies to flight. It sounds like they won. Right? They won. Nobody walked in their church and shot it up. They were victorious, right? All those people were, right? They won. There's no hint of that particular place of what happened, but look as it goes on. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawn in half. Others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing sheeps of skin and goats, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Not yet. We haven't received all that God had promised, but what is it? What's the whole list tell you? What's been going on? This is shortly after Jesus was here. What's been going on? Evil has been happening, and Christians have been treated like that and killed like that since that time. Why didn't God just stop all Christians from dying? Free will. Because the penalty of sin is death. Why didn't God strike that guy down before he could walk into that church? Free will. Okay, I want to show you something more. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. This is the war that happened in heaven when Satan fell to the earth. Okay, when God kicked him out of his job. He's still Satan. He still does all these things. He took a third of the stars with him. That's the angels, it tells us later. And he immediately, his whole purpose and everything he done was to stop Jesus from being who he was. That's what that says. So there was war in heaven. A third of the angels fell with him. There was another war in heaven that hadn't happened yet. Y'all know that? This war is coming. This comes right after this period of time. That there's a period of time called the tribulation period. That's when this war will happen. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. Where did they come to? The earth. The great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with his angels. What's he been doing? What's it say he's been doing between when he deceived Adam and Eve until the tribulation period started? What's he been doing? Deceiving the whole world. That's what he's been doing. He hates God. He hates God's people. Everything that's going on in your life, it has to do with a spiritual battle. Y'all get that, right? Okay. And then I heard a loud, this hadn't happened yet, I heard a loud voice shouting across heaven, "It has come at last. Salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren and sisters have been cast down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." So what does he go and do? Right now, what's he doing? Accusing us before God. Well, him and his whole host of demons, they're all over the earth. They're seeking whom they can devour. They're deceiving, and they're there accusing us before God. But in this war, he gets kicked out of there. He don't go there anymore. But guess where he goes? Guess where he goes when he gets kicked out of the spirit world? Into a man called the Antichrist. That's where he goes. But here's how you defeat him. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Listen, it's going to come to that. It already is in a large part of the world. Live like you're what? Dying. But also live like what? You're going to live somewhere forever. If you're afraid to die physically and you renounce your faith or you don't become a Christian because you don't want to die, guess what? You're still going to die. You just may put it off for a little bit. We haven't been faced with this so much as a lot of the rest of the world. Okay? But it's here, right? It's here. Revelation 12, "Rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice, but terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger," because he knows what? He understands time. You understand? He gets it. He's busy. Let me tell you something real fast. There was several years ago, I was going to read you some philosophy things, but I'm not going to do that. There was a guy in Colorado, and I forgot the town. It may have been Colorado Springs. I think it was. Came to a church that holds 7,000 in one service, and they have several services, but there was around 7,000 people there. How many of you know this story? He got out of his car with a weapon just like that guy had. He shot a security guard outside. An off-duty police officer who worked security at that church, volunteers to do it, shot him when he come in the door. So you know why you hadn't heard about him?
He got shot.
Because he got shot and nothing more happened. In South Carolina, there was a guy came into the back of the church and started down the aisle shooting people, and a guy who had a concealed weapon shot him. How many of you heard about that one? So let's talk about free will and God's sovereignty, right? Is God sovereign? Meaning what?
What he says goes.
Huh? God has determined that that creation is going to last about this length of time, okay? And then he's going to stop it. He's also determined that certain things are going to happen during that time. One thing that he determined is that his son, Christ, would be betrayed and be crucified. He determined that that was happening. Who did that? Who was the guy who betrayed him? Judas. What does the Bible say about Judas's responsibility? Huh? No, it says that it was going to happen, but it did not have to be Judas who done it. So Judas was responsible for his choice. Right? So we have free will inside God's sovereignty. We will answer for the choices we make. If we didn't have free will, we wouldn't have to answer. I was going to tell you about determinism and fatalism and predetermined and all kinds of stuff like that. But let me just tell you, since that shooting has happened, Billy and Travis and I have been reviewing our security stuff, going to update some of us. If somebody comes into the church and we're able to see them ahead of time, we're going to shoot them. You understand? So how does that fit in to what we're talking about? Say it again.
Appropriate.
It's stewardship. It's stewardship. Has God given us life? And are we supposed to love life? And this Veterans Day thing, why do we honor, a Memorial Day especially, why do we honor the people who died for us? Because they loved enough, they gave up the most important thing that God can give you, which is life. They laid it down for somebody else. That's why Christ loved us so much. God gives us the appreciation, the desire to live. That's why when something goes wrong with you, you go to the doctor, try to figure out what it is. That's why when the doctor told me to lose weight or become diabetic, I lost weight. I like life. I want to live. I want Jesus to come back and take us to heaven, but I don't want to die. You know why I don't want to die? That gives the devil just a little bit of victory. I don't even have even that. I don't want anybody laughing and dancing over my grave. I'd actually do. That would be neat. But anyway, where was I at? That blew me away. Huh? Yeah, if somebody breaks into your house tonight and you have a gun, what should you do? Shoot them. Does that make you wrong? Does that say, well, God must not be sovereign because we're doing that? No, it has nothing to do with it. If a guy like that came in, and let's say he came in and he stood up here and none of us are armed and he had that assault rifle and he said, by the way, I don't like that term, but anyway, he said, any of you who will renounce Christ, I'll let live. Y'all go ahead and leave. Everybody else dies. You know what that guy said when he came into the back of the church? He shot the sound man and the video guy first. You know what he said as soon as he got through that? Everybody dies. He said that he walked up and down the rows about 10 or 15 times, shooting everybody, reshooting a whole bunch of them, and he kept saying, everybody dies. So if I'm a bad guy and I'm standing up here and I say, everybody who wants to live, renounce Christ, say you're not a Christian, and walk out the door. How many of us would love our life so, this life so much that we would do that? Live like what? Live like we're dying. They're going to tear that church down and make a memorial out of it and build a church somewhere else. What did you think when you heard that? Huh? You know, some of the things that came in, and I'm going to run out of time. Some of the things that come into my mind, you know, the pastor and his wife were out of town when that happened. And he came back. And evidently going to get to do 26 funerals. About half of his church. How do you do that? How do you do that and not confront evil? Right? But also, what makes it possible is because they're in heaven. And their war is over. We're still fighting ours.